Good morning again. Good to see you. And glad that you could be with us this morning. And welcome to all the guests that are here this morning. And those of you, if this is your first time, welcome. And we pray that the Lord blesses you and that you feel welcomed here. Our text this morning is from 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 to 21. It's all of, 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it about to tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end, for I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What is it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel, and he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all of Israel and Dan to Beersheba, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Let us pray together before we dive into God's word. Lord, we thank you so much that we could celebrate and remember the Lord's Supper this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that moves in our midst, that speaks to us, that leads us and guides us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. But Lord, we cry out for our church. We cry out for those of us that are meeting here this morning, that you would come near to us, speak to us. May your presence be real to us. But we pray, Lord, that as we as a church seek to do your will and seek to do what you are calling us to do, I pray that you would give us courage and boldness. Boldness to step out into the unknown. Boldness to do what you've called us to do. And Lord, by your grace and your power and your spirit, may we impact this community by the word of God. So Lord, we pray that you would touch our community, that you would speak and touch our city and our community, that many may come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, as we gather around your word now, as we look at your word, I pray that you would speak to us. Let it not be the words of man, but that you would speak to us directly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we spoke about the Holy Spirit being Pentecost Sunday, and we spoke about the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You may recall that as I challenged you to abandon your life, to lay down your own life, die to yourself, and only then can the true power of the Holy Spirit be manifest in your life. And I challenge you to do that. The key to living in the power and the presence of God is dying to ourselves, making less of ourselves, and being less in ourselves, allowing more of God to come through us. A life of peace, a life of power, a life experiencing the presence of God. Remember 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The Spirit of God is power. But how does this really work? I know I gave you a lot of ideas last week about how we should experience more of the presence of God, how we should experience more of power of God in our lives. And I said, well, you need to die to yourself and make less of yourself. But how does that work? You know, I'm an engineer, and by trade, before I became a pastor, I was an engineer, and I like details. I like to see the nuts and bolts. You know, what's the manual? What's the steps from A to Z of how to do this? But God is practical as well. And the challenge for us today is, does God speak to us? Does God reveal himself to us? And the answer is yes, he does speak to us. God does reveal himself to us. And we can trust him. This series that I'm about to start now is all about the voice of God, hearing the voice of God, allowing God to speak to us. And so today I'm going to start with, why does God speak? Next week, Lord willing, you can join us. I'll talk about a little bit about how God speaks to us. And then the final week, Lord willing, we get there. The third week would be, what is our responsibility to the voice of God? When God speaks to us, there's something that he's telling us to do. What is our responsibility? What is our reaction, our response to the voice of God? So as we begin the series, we start with the question, why does God speak to us? And I'm assuming he does, because he does. Why does God speak to us? And a classic story that we know so well is the story of the calling of Samuel. We know the story well. We teach it to our children. And we were taught it probably as children, the calling of Samuel. Although probably the judgment of the house of Eli and his sons is left out of that story. But we know the story well. And the story highlights a very important turning point in the history of Israel. It was a time when the period of the judges was coming to an end, and the period of the kings, the era of the kings, was about to start. A significant turning point in Israel. Samuel is a wonderful example to us of someone who's attentive, waiting for the voice of the Lord. Samuel was in the house of the Lord. He slept near the ark of the Lord. He was there. He was waiting. He was attentive. And he was eager. When he heard his name being called, he jumped up and ran to Eli. He was eager. He was attentive. According to the ancient historian Josephus, Samuel was about 12 years old at this time. He'd probably been living in the temple or working with Eli in the temple, serving in the temple for about 9 or 10 years. You remember the story of how his mother had dedicated him to the Lord and brought him to the temple. But the first verse of chapter 3 of 1 Samuel says that the voice or the word of the Lord was rare in those days. How tragic. The word of the Lord was rare. In fact, looking through the period of the judges, which is roughly about 350 years, but it's about 1,000 years before Christ. During that time, only two prophets are recorded in the scriptures. And of those two prophets, there's only 5 times when revelations come from the word of the Lord. But all that was about to change. The Lord had called Samuel, this young 12-year-old, to be his servant, a young man who was eager to serve the Lord, but he became one of the greatest prophets. The part on the account of Samuel that is left out, though, is the sons of Eli, Phinehas and Hophni, and their sin against the Lord, and how they had blasphemed the Lord. You can read about that in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. And we tend to gloss over that. But one thing that always disturbed me is Eli is punished as well. Eli is really, he's given a real stiff punishment from the Lord. Well, there's two reasons for that. The scripture is clear. He knew what his sons were doing, and he didn't do anything to stop them. They were blaspheming against the Lord. He knew it, and he didn't stand up and correct them. So he was complicit in their sin. Many Christians today are living in blatant sin. They're making light of the grace of God. They're taking the grace of God and the forgiveness and the blood of Jesus Christ and saying, oh, it's okay, I can sin. I can be forgiven. God is not mocked. We'll all face the judgment seat one day. We need to ensure that we're constantly in the presence of God, constantly coming to Him in repentance, every day, searching our hearts and making our hearts right with the Lord in repentance and humility. We need that every single day to be effective. The Lord wasn't going to use Eli. He was living in sin. But the Lord used Samuel, someone who was eager, someone who was in the presence of God daily serving the Lord. The Lord chose to reveal Himself to Samuel. He was a young 12-year-old. Again, as I say, he was humble. He had the right perspective, though. He didn't know the Lord. He was doing the things. He was going about the routines, but he didn't recognize the voice of the Lord. He did not know the Lord at this time. But God would use him in a mighty way, and eventually he would become the prophet that would anoint King Saul. But there's two primary reasons I want to focus on, the why God speaks. There's two primary reasons that we see in this scripture. The first one is God speaks to us so that we can develop a relationship with Him, so that we can know Him as our Heavenly Father. God speaks so that we can know Him. God is knowable. We can develop a relationship with Him. He wants a relationship with us. We can learn about His character and His nature as He speaks to us. The second reason is God speaks to call people. God speaks to call people, to call them to respond, to commission them, to tell them to do something, to commit their lives to serving Him. This was Samuel's commissioning. This was Samuel's calling and his commissioning. God spoke to him. Samuel knew God after that time, and he was commissioned. He went out and served the Lord. Today, God is still calling people. God is still commissioning people. God is still sending them out every day. And I'm not just talking about pastors and missionaries and ministers of the gospel. I'm talking about every one of us. God is calling you. God is calling me. And He is calling us to be missionaries, to impact in the sphere of society that He has placed us in. In our area of influence, God's calling you, God's calling me to be an influence. Today, as we mentioned last week, we are blessed by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. If you know and trust the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior, you have the Holy Spirit, and we have the ability to hear God speaking to us. But we need to position ourselves. We need to position ourselves so that God can speak to us. We need to be attentive to the Word of God. We need to be in the place like Samuel was, in the presence of God, in that place where He can speak to us. So how do we hear the voice of God? Now, I know that next week that's going to be the topic, the theme. How do we hear the voice of God is next week. But it would be, again, a little remiss if I didn't say why God speaks without touching on how God speaks. So I'm going to give you a few pointers. But the primary message, the primary way God speaks to us is through the Word of God. He has given us His Word. These 66 books are not just a collection of writings. They're an inspired Word of God. He speaks to us through that. As the Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God to us, we know this. But how often we don't go to the scriptures when we're needing to hear from the Lord. How often we read another book rather than reading the Bible. We'll read other texts and we will know what other people say instead of going to the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, and saying, Lord, what do you want to say to me this morning? And every morning when you have that time with the Lord, come with expectancy. Open the scriptures praying, Lord, what do you want to say to me from your word today? And allow him to speak to you. He will not disappoint you if you ask him to speak to you. But then we also have the ability to hear God's voice through what we often term and call that still small voice, just that prompting, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, just leading and guiding us. And, you know, we can test that, and I'll talk that a little bit about that next week and further on today. But that still small voice, that prompting. Sometimes God speaks to us through other people. Sometimes God speaks to us through the promptings, the encouragement of other people. Sometimes through our circumstances where things have lined up and we know, well, that's the will of God, or the way things are falling into place. And then sometimes God speaks to us through nature. It's the revelation of God through nature. It's his handiwork. Last week we mentioned, you know, when it said that the Holy Spirit is that still small voice. The Holy Spirit is the Parakletos, the counselor, the advocate, the helper, our counselor, our helper. We must be able to hear him speak to us. You know, when children grow up, I was the same when we went through Sunday school. We were often told, and children are still told today, that prayer is a conversation between me and God, right? We tell our children that. Prayer is you having a conversation with God. And children love that. And somewhere along the line, we kind of grow out of that. And we say, well, yeah, prayer is a list of things that I take to God. No, prayer is still a conversation between you and God. Now, in order to have a conversation, there needs to be two sides to the conversation. If you're not hearing God speak to you in prayer, it's because you're speaking all the time. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. And people say, well, God never speaks to me. Does he really speak? God never speaks to me. Well, maybe you need to be still. Be still. Silence yourself before God. Humbly silence yourself before him and allow him to speak to you. You remember a few months ago, I brought my prayer journals up here and I showed you how I write my prayers out because it helps me to stay focused. But in there as well, as I'm prompted by the Holy Spirit, sometimes I'll write things down. And it's not perfect. Sometimes I get it completely wrong. But sometimes, more often than not, it's the word of the Lord and he's encouraging me. He's directing me. He's leading me. And then I can look back 6 months, a year down the line, and I can see that was God speaking because that came about. That was him encouraging me. So I encourage you in your prayer time, when you're still before the Lord, just write down the promptings that he gives you. Allow him to speak to you. But along with that comes some discernment. We need to be discerning when we're saying, Lord, speak to me. Now, if it's the scripture, sometimes we can take that out of context and we can make it say things the Lord didn't intend it to say. But as God's speaking to us, there's two guidelines that are very important we can test. The first one is it scriptural? Everything must relate back to the Word of God. If God is speaking to you, is it scriptural? Is it biblical? Or does it go against scripture? If it goes against scripture, that's not the voice of God. And secondly, does it exalt Christ? Does it lift the name of Jesus high? God's telling you to do something and that doesn't lift the name of Jesus. It's not the word of the Lord. God will only say things to encourage, to build, to grow the body of Christ. I have a personal testimony that kind of brings a lot of this into some explanation of my calling into missions and eventually into being here. It was in 2004. I was cycling, as I like to do, as Cam knows, from time to time, less often than I'd like. And I can clearly remember I was in Acworth, Georgia, and I was turning onto Mars Hill Road, just the strangest thing. And it was 2004, it was a warm summer's day. And just as I was writing, Luke 12:48 came to my mind. Now, I'm like you, what does Luke 12:48 say? I literally got, the Lord said to me, Luke 12:48. That was it. So what does Luke 12:48 say? What does it mean? I didn't know. So I went home and I looked it up. I didn't even know there were 48 verses in Luke chapter 12. And I looked it up, and as I began to read, the second part of that verse says, "For everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask the more." And I just realized how blessed I was. I realized how much the Lord had given me. And the Lord started stirring in my heart and saying, "I want you to give. I'm asking of you now. I have blessed you." So that started stirring in my heart. Back in 1986, I was at a youth camp, and I committed my life to full-time ministry at that youth camp. And I remember going forward and praying. It was a hot summer's night. Mosquitoes were everywhere. But I remember kneeling before the Lord and saying, "My life is yours. Use me for whatever you want to use me for." I committed my life to full-time ministry. But the path that the Lord had me on up until 2004 was completely the opposite direction. I was trying to build businesses. I was trying to make money. I was trying to do everything I could to make money. And the Lord began to stir in my heart and say, "Remember 1986. Remember that time when you gave your life to me, full-time ministry. I'm calling you." And the Lord had been preparing me for all those years. He began igniting a fire in my heart. The next day, I was asked by a family member to go and see a movie. And there was a showing at a church in Atlanta. And the movie was called Beat the Drum. And it was about the plight of AIDS orphans and people struggling with AIDS in South Africa. And I watched this movie and it just tore me up. I thought, "Lord, why am I here in America when people in my home country are suffering so much? Why am I here? Lord, why did you bring me here?" Because it was evident that he'd brought me here. And so the Lord started stirring. I had spent a restless night. The next day, I was driving on my way to church on Sunday evening. And we were attending a church that still had Sunday evening services. And as I was driving, I turned on the radio and I was listening to some worship music. And I didn't know, but they were having international worship music. So different languages, different countries singing. And I probably had about a 5-mile trip to the church. And in that time, they were singing in two languages, Afrikaans and Zulu. And those are two languages found pretty much only in South Africa. And I'm trying to figure out what country I'm in because this is really unusual. And I can't remember the songs, I just remember the language. The Lord had my attention. And I was probably the only one in Atlanta that understood. I know I don't understand Zulu, but I understood some of the words and I knew what language it was. But I understood the languages. The Lord had my attention. He was speaking to me. That evening I went to church, I walked in the door, and the pastor was preaching about a building program that they were embarking on. Now, immediately that got my irritation. Being missional and missions-focused, I don't like building programs, building these huge... Anyway, that's aside. We'll get onto that some other day. But the 3 points of his sermon stood out to me. The first one was, God's plan is still valid. I said, "Wow, that's interesting. Here I am thinking about God's plan for me 18 years before. God's plan is still valid." The second point was, you are in the right place at the right time. And yeah, I'm wondering, why am I in America? And God's saying, you are in the right place at the right time. And the third point was the resources are available. That got my attention because going from an engineer to a missionary, I would need resources. How was I going to afford to live on support? How was I going to do this? And the Lord affirmed and confirmed to me straight away that the resources are available. You will not lack anything. The next week, I was meeting with the CEO of Adventures in Missions and started raising support and quit my job. And within 4 months, I was in full-time ministry. The Lord had called me using things that He knew would get my attention to call me to His purposes. And that was about 11 years ago, and that led me to the path where I am today here at Grace Point. So God used Scripture. He used circumstances. He used the encouragement of others. He used movies. He used languages and a radio station to speak to me. But all the while, I was listening to the voice of God. God still speaks today. Today, you know, we are blessed, as I mentioned last week, by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us individually, but it's very important to know that God doesn't just speak to us for our own benefit. He speaks to us to prepare us, to equip us, to ignite in us a passion and a fire so that other people are transformed and blessed by the gospel message of Jesus Christ. God speaking to us is for others so that we can give ourselves to the kingdom of God. Remember the two reasons why I said God speaks to us. Firstly is to reveal Himself, His character and His nature, who God is. We get to know Him as He speaks to us. And then secondly, to give instruction, to give counsel, to instruct us to do something, to go out and do something. Jesus speaking to His disciples in John 15, 26 and 27 said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about Me, and you will testify also, because you have been with Me from the beginning." There we have it in those two short phrases. The Holy Spirit will testify about Me, and then you will testify about Me also. When God speaks to us, we are compelled, we're fired up, we're ignited to go and tell others. The presence of God is with us. We can know God. He is knowable. God reveals Himself to us. When Jesus died, the veil was torn from top to bottom. God tore the veil to the Holy of Holies. We can reside in the presence of the Holiest of Holies. We can be in God's presence. We can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A personal relationship with a knowable God. Now, my challenge to you this morning is, are you growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you knowing more about God today than you did a year ago? Do you know more about God? Is He revealing Himself more and more to you as you spend time with Him, as you spend time in His Word? Because if you're not, you might be going through religious activities, much like Eli did, keeping the temple going, just doing the things that were expected of you. But that's not growing in a relationship with God. No relationship with God. You can do all the things. You can come to church every Sunday. You can do everything that you're supposed to do. But there is no life. You need to experience the presence of God to have life. You can hear God's voice, and I invite you today to pray. There are so many competing voices and things to distract us from God's presence. Psalm 46:10 again, "Be still and know that I am God." You cannot do that with the TV on. You cannot do that checking Facebook. You cannot do that. You have to pull away from the crowd. You have to find your prayer closet, that quiet place where you can be alone with God. Then God will speak to you, and you will know God. We need to put away things that distract us from our growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to put those things away. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. It is more important that you know God than that you build anything. There is nothing on any TV channel that is worth giving up time to spend with God. You're going to get to spend eternity with Him. May as well start getting to know Him as He reveals Himself to you. Maybe today you realized you want more of that. Maybe as I've been speaking to you, you want to know who God is. And you realize that maybe in your life you don't have that. I invite you today to come forward to pray. I invite you to come forward, and Bob will be up front here to pray with you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But maybe you've also at the point where you, like Eli, have gone through the routine and the rituals, but you want that relationship. You want to know the life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. I invite you to come and pray this morning, right now during the final song. I invite you to do that. We are going to baptize a couple of people today. They have made that decision to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. They've embarked on that journey of knowing God, of spending time with Him. And so we get to celebrate that today. We get to celebrate lives that have been transformed by the gospel message. So I invite you to enjoy this time with us and to worship with us as well as we celebrate with them. But let us pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. It brings life. It brings transformation. It commissions us. It activates us to go and do as you have commanded. So, Lord, I pray that as we meditate on this now, Lord, teach us to be still. Teach us to be still and know that you are God. There is no other purpose in life more fulfilling, no other purpose in life more rewarding than to spend time in your presence. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us this week as we go out, Lord. Teach us about you as we read your word, as we're encouraged by other Christians. I pray, Lord, that you would speak. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.